East. We have had such a great, really, end of the week. We had the big give that went on that was phenomenal. We've had a great weekend already, and I will not take too long, but it is my privilege and honor to introduce to you our new senior pastor, Pastor Tommy Kiker.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Good morning, good morning. I just want you to know it's my joy and my pleasure to be here. I've got so much that I want to say, but none of it comes close to as important as what God wants to say to us through His Word. So if you have your copy of God's Word this morning, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. As you find your place, it was a summer day in June of 1991. I was a rising college freshman. If you're doing the math, I'm 45 years old, okay? Just some of y'all were already starting to sweat over that. I was on the beach of Bugs Island Lake. It was at the end of the week of music camp. I had been brought in to be a junior counselor by a young lady that was leading up the camp. And honestly, the only reason that I said yes, because I really liked the young lady that was heading up the camp. Don't look at me all spiritual. That's why I went. But God had grabbed the hold of my heart. It was Thursday night. It was the last night of camp. And everybody at the end of the service was crying. And many were crying because God had reached down and touched their heart. And some were crying because they had fallen in love at camp and were never going to see that person again. Anybody? Can I get a witness? That was back in the day where if you wanted to keep in touch, you actually had to write real mail. And I never fell in love with a girl at camp that much that I took that much trouble. And so I might, if Facebook and email had been around, it might have been a different story. But that night, God had grabbed a hold of me like never before in my life. I was saved when I was 8 years old, June the 14th, 1981. So this was 10 years later. And from 8 to 18, I was a good Christian preacher boy. I didn't smoke. I didn't chew. I didn't date girls that do. Amen? You know what I'm saying? But I was just a good kid. But I wasn't growing in my walk with Jesus. I didn't have a passion about the gospel. I had been saved, but I just didn't really understand how big a deal it was. But on that night, God had so gripped me with the reality that Jesus loved me so much that He had been crucified, that He'd been buried, and that He rose the third day so that I could have life. And not only have life, but have life more abundantly. If you want a preacher that stands in the pulpit, you hired the wrong one, okay? I'm just saying. It just gripped me. And on that beach, I made a declaration that I thought was a huge deal. And I remember that I was weeping and I was seeking the Lord and I was praying. Everybody else had gone back to their cabins. And I made this declaration. I said, Jesus, I love you so much and I'll do anything you want me to do but preach. Well, can I just tell you, if you're in love with Jesus, and you want to do anything you want He wants you to do, but there's something you're holding on to. There's something that you're not willing to let go of. There's something that you're not willing to step into. Can I just assure you, that's probably what Jesus is drawing you to do, because why else would you be fighting? So I went off to college, Wingate University. It's a small Baptist college, kind of like LC, that's in North Carolina. And I just got in with some great guys, and I was at BSU, which is what y'all call BSM here. And I fell more and more with Jesus. And by the end of my first semester, I was preaching on a regular basis. By the spring of my first semester, I was preaching somewhere every week, and I found out I like to preach. That summer, I did a tour with a group of guys up and down the East Coast from Washington, D.C. to Pensacola, Florida. We were in a different church every weekend. We were doing youth revivals, youth events, youth weekends like y'all just did. And I'm so glad some of that stuff was not on video because I would have had to destroy it. But we had a great time, saw hundreds of kids get saved. I like to preach. And so then I began praying, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do, but pastor. Well, I finished college. And then I went off to seminary, and I went off to be a youth minister for about 8 years. I was a youth minister, and then I was about 8 years into doing youth ministry, and God just told me I needed to go and get some theological training. And I went off to seminary. I was so determined I wasn't going to be a pastor that I went to seminary to go be a missionary in North Africa and the Middle East, because it scared me less to go somewhere where they might cut my head off for Jesus than it did to pastor a Baptist church. I'll do anything but. But what God showed me through this passage that we're going to look at briefly today is that you can't have any buts with God. It's got to be all or nothing. You need to lay it down. So now, I went off after that. in March of 2001, I became the pastor in Ahoskie, North Carolina. And I know there's some of you in here that know where that is, but most of you don't, because you can't get there from here. You got to go somewhere else. And then it is almost literally to the end of the earth. But God blessed there, and we had a wonderful time. Then God made me a seminary professor. I never said I'd do anything but be a seminary professor. But I always told people I was a pastor, got demoted to seminary professor. And now for some reason the Lord seemed fit to promote me back to pastor, and it is my great joy. But you cannot hold back from God. It's all or nothing. I want you to recognize in this text just two points. You say, you got to have three. No, you don't. If the text only has two, you preach two. Okay? But the first point is this. We need to recognize that there's a call to worship. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it says this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, I urge you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Look at the words there. Therefore is in the text. It reminds us that Paul is pointing back to something that he has just said. If you look just above chapter 12, verse 1, there in chapter 11, verse 33, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, and who has been given to God that he should be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Paul's saying, therefore, he just had what I call a happy moment. He just been reminded of how great God is, of who God is. And so Paul's saying, because of who God is, do what I'm about to say. Because of who God is, do what I'm about to say. And in my translation, the CSB, it says brothers and sisters. In some translations, it'll say brethren. In some translations, it'll say brother. But it's to all of us. But it's to those of us that have received Christ. Because what Paul's about to ask us to do is not something that a lost person can do. Only a saved person can do this through Jesus. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, therefore, because of who God is, but by the mercies of God, because of what God has done. Come on now, what are the mercies of God? What has God done for you? Let me think back just in what Paul said in this letter to the church at Rome. In Romans 5:8, he says, but God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. Romans 3:23, that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Romans 8:18, for I reckon, Paul was a southern Jew, so he said, for I reckon, all right, y'all got to stay with me, I got to just keep you there, for I reckon these present sufferings, some of y'all are going through some suffering, some of y'all are going through some hard times, some of you have gone through trials, some of you feel hurt, some of you feel pain, can I just tell you, Paul says, I reckon these present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed to us. Romans 8:28, for we know, doesn't say for we think or that it might, but for we know that all things work together for good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Can I tell you, nothing ever happens in your life that surprises God. And he never stops working to bring all those things together. So no matter what we've gone through, no matter what we will go through, God is always working and you can trust that. Paul's saying, by the mercies of God, because of who God is and because of what God has done, listen to what I'm about to say. Therefore, brothers, in mercy, by the mercies of God, I urge you, I beseech you, I beg you, could be the translation. The Greek scholars are smarter than me, so I'll read them. They say this word has the idea almost as Paul on his knees begging for them to hear what he's about to say. And I beg you to hear what God's word says. I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What's that mean? Lord, you've done all this for me. This is who you are. The only way I can respond is to present my body as a living sacrifice. But notice it says your bodies, plural, as a living sacrifice, singular. What's that mean? That means that together as the body of Christ, we're to present our bodies individually through God's church as a living sacrifice because of who God is and what God has done. It's the only thing that makes sense. You say, where do you get that? Come on Wednesday nights, Brother Jerry will be sharing with you how we are one body and we're one of another, we're one another, the one another passages. If you read down in Romans 12, 3 through 8, it talks about we are members of one another. Look around. If you're part of the East Leesville Baptist Church family, you are members of one another. You know, that scared some of y'all, didn't it? You all right? I know every family's got some crazy uncles that you don't want to stand up and speak at the family reunion. Some of y'all thought about it. Don't be pointing at people or thinking about names. But we're in this thing together, and we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. This is our call to worship. Listen, worship is wonderful, but we've got to the place where when we think of worship, all we think about is music, and thank God for music. Amen. Thank God for these young, I hate to think that I'm so middle-aged, that these young folks gave our music this morning. They did a great job. Amen. And I love music, and I love to have, if you ever pass me on the highway, one, you're going too fast, but because I go a little over myself, but two, if you see me I'll have one hand on the wheel, but one hand's liable to be in the air because God's just too good not to praise Him. And I love my music. But it's not, it's a part of our worship. It's an important part of our worship. But our worship is our every breath, our every thought, our every deed. Now, some of us, not all that great of worship. But our everything is what God deserves and what He desires. No buts. No holding back. I beseech you, I beg you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What? Holy. It's got to be separated from. How do any of us get holy? It's only through Jesus. That's why this is for the saved person. The lost person can't do this. Now, lost person, if you're here this morning, you say, well, I don't know if I'm lost or not. If you don't know, you probably are. That's okay. You don't have to stay that way. But you can't present your body a living sacrifice until you come to Jesus. Because none of us are holy without Jesus. But He makes us holy in Christ, pleasing to God. None of us are pleasing to God except through Jesus. That's our only hope. But thank God He is our hope. This is your spiritual worship. This is our worship, to present our bodies. So when I'm singing, I'm presenting myself. When I'm preaching, I'm presenting myself. When I'm working, I'm presenting myself. When I'm with my family, I'm presenting myself. Everything in my life is worship unto God. It ought to be holy and pleasing worship. Those two words right there, I'm not going to get too technical. I do have a PhD. I earned it, but I don't want you to call me Dr. Kiker. It took me 7 years. I believe the tribulation is already over, but I don't. I think it's coming. But in the original language, the Old Testament was written mostly in what? Let's just have a little quiz. Hebrew? Anybody know that already? New Testament was written mostly in what? You can talk to me. It's okay. It won't scare me. As a matter of fact, I prefer it Greek. And the Greek word here for spiritual, in some translations it's translated reasonable, but the Greek word is this. And I'm not going to throw Greek at you unless it actually makes some sense. And I hope after you hear it, you'll understand why I did it. The Greek word is logikos. L-O-G-I-K-O-S. What's that sound like? Logical. This is your logical worship. To give Jesus everything is the only thing that makes sense in light of what Jesus has done for us. Folks, it's the only logical thing to do in light of who He is and what He has done is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's point one. Don't get excited. I can preach point two for about an hour and a half, but I'm not, okay? Pray for the 11 o'clock service, but I'm just saying. Here's the second point. This call to worship should result in a surrender to obedience. We need to recognize there is a call to worship, and this call to worship should result in a surrender to obedience. Listen, He's either Lord or He's not. He's either God or He's not. He's either Savior or He's not. There's no in between, folks. If Jesus says, do it, what should be our response? Yes, Lord, do it. We have to surrender in obedience. Look what Paul says. He tells us there in the text in verse 2. He says to not be conformed. Look what he says. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed. The word there gives the idea of don't be pressed down. Don't be shaped by that which is around you. The word in the Greek is schematizo. Don't fall into the schemes of the world. Don't let the world press in on you. Do not be conformed. In my family, I've got two younger sisters. One is 7 years younger than me, and one is 13 years younger than me. I think mom and dad just kept getting surprised, you know, or they just kept saying, man, we can do better than that first one. But either way, our families are all, we all have spouses. I started to say we all have wives, but my sisters have husbands. I have a wife. and we all have spouses, and when we come together for Christmas, it started to get expensive. I love my sisters, and I like my brother-in-laws. I love them too, but just to buy everybody a gift, it's like I'm going to the Five and Under store. Y'all have that in Leesville or Alec or any? Okay, it's a place where you get anything for under. You got the dollar store, and then there's the $5 store. That's the nice stuff. But anyway, so we decided we're going to start playing this mean Christmas game. This Dirty Santa, y'all ever play that where everybody buys a gift and then you steal it from each other? But we said no gag gifts and $50 to $75. That's a nice gift. I like a $50 to $75 gift, all right? I don't have to have it, but I like it. And so what I would do is I'd buy something I won't, put it in there, and try to get it. All right? But what you don't want, if you're a dude, if you're a guy, what ends up happening is the guys buy guy gifts. It's either something to hunt, fish, or play, you know, something. It's a man gift. And all the ladies, you don't want that gift. I mean, I love you ladies and everything, but what you buy for folks at Christmas, I normally don't want. My wife, she picks out something she wants and tries to get it. I pick out something I won't, try to get it. But here's the thing. One year, my sister, who should own Amazon by now, as much as she shops on there, praise the Lord, I hope she doesn't hear this message. Amen. Well, I hope she does. Anyway, praise. She had bought these cookie cookbooks, dessert and cookie cookbooks. And it was a big box. Guys, I just fell for it. It was a big box. And it was heavy. And it rattled, and I thought, oh, this is something. And it was cookie cookbooks. Do I look like I need cookies? Don't answer that. And cookie cutters. It was probably 200 or more cookie cutters. And every shape you can think of, Christmas trees and snowmen and just, I don't know. They sat in our garage for about 3 years. We sold them at a yard sale. But just, we kept the cookbooks. I've ate too many of the cookies. But if you take one of those cookie cutters and you press it down into the dough, what's it take the shape of? Whatever the shape of that cookie cutter is. If the world is the cookie cutter, what Paul is saying is don't let it press down on you. Don't be shaped by what's on the outside. What he says, do not be conformed to this age, this world, this cosmos is the Greek word, but be transformed. I like that word there. We have any elementary science teachers in here? Any middle school, elementary school science teacher? Anybody? Fourth or fifth grade science. I've got to look this up sometimes so I know what I'm talking about when I do the illustration. But we learn about the process of metamorphosis. Y'all know what that is, right? The caterpillar builds a cocoon, crawls up into it, and something transforms on the inside, and it comes out of what? But these aren't hard questions, right? Don't get scared. It's not hard questions. That's called metamorphosis. The word here that's translated in your Bible, transformed, is the word in the Greek, metamorpho. You see how? So I'm not going to throw Greek at you unless it kind of makes sense, right? Y'all see that? Don't go out saying that preacher's too uppity. He's always talking about the Greek or whatever. I know enough Greek to be dangerous, and the only time it makes sense to me is when it's going to make sense to you. God changes us from the inside out. Don't be changed from the outside in. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed from the inside out. And if you are saved, who dwells inside of you? The Holy Spirit of God. Come on, let's get some theology this morning, right? And so Paul's saying you can either be changed or shaped or conformed to this world, or you can be transformed by the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. And Paul's saying, don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Now, how do we renew our minds? You came to church this morning, and you did not know that you're getting one of the deepest insights that you've ever gotten in your Christian walk. Y'all ready? You need to write this down. I'm going to tell you how you renew your mind. I'm serious, you need a pen, a crayon, mascara, something to write this down. How do you renew your mind when you're a child of God? Y'all ready? You may have never heard this before, but I'm about to give it to you. You ready? Everybody ready? Read your Bible. Pray. Spend time with Jesus. Wow, that's deep, isn't it? Preacher, that's simple. That's how it's got to be for us to be able to renew our mind. How do I renew my mind? Jesus renews my mind as I spend time with him, as I spend time in his word. My quiet time, I'm reading through the Gospel of Luke, the book of Job, and the book of Isaiah. You say, why'd you pick those? That's the ones that the reading plan that I'm using picked for August the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th since I've been here. And I was reading in Luke the other day, and it was talking about the time when Jesus went up to the he stayed in the temple. Remember that time when they'd gone to Jerusalem and they were on the way back and they journeyed for a day and then realized their young, you know, social services would have been called nowadays. But anyway, Mary and Joseph were trusting that he was back there playing with the other kids. And they went back and said, why were you here? And he said, well, did you not know I'd be about my father's business? And you know, you're thinking, I've always paid attention to that part of the story, but I kept reading and it talked about Jesus as it grew. And it said, Jesus was submissive to his parents from there. Here's the maker of the world. And he was submissive to his parents. And some of y'all don't even want to be submissive to your boss or submissive to your government. I don't want to either, but I want to be, and a lot of you don't want to be submissive to Jesus, but Jesus himself. That renewed my mind and understanding that I need to submit myself to God and those that God puts over me. Because that was the example that Jesus set. I mean, there's a reason why we don't have that authority as children. Can you imagine Jesus as a teenager? He was smarter than his parents. He really was. We just all thought we were. But he was submissive to them. Renewing your mind. The word in the original language has the idea of renovation. How many of you have ever lived in a house that you were renovating? You didn't move out. You just lived there while you're... Nobody? Really? A few of you. Isn't that the most blessed time of your life? That's just real peaceful and... What is it? It's messy. And it never gets done for the price you were told it was going to get done for. And it never gets done in the time that you were told it was going to get done in. And sometimes it's a pain and sometimes it's tough. But if you have a good contractor... And he's honest and he has integrity and he does quality work. When it's over, it should be, and you hope it's worth it, right? God is our contractor. Jesus dwells in us through the Holy Spirit. He is renovating us. And sometimes it's dusty and sometimes it's messy and sometimes it's painful just because we're stubborn sometimes. But I promise you, he will finish the task and it will be worth it all. Do not be conformed to this world, but be this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to recognize there's a call to worship. We can't have any buts. I can't say I'll do anything but be a pastor. I can't say I can do anything but be a preacher. I can't say I'll do anything but go to Louisiana. I've already given that up. So now I say I'll do anything but be a multi-billionaire and just see, I'm just testing God. You're going to take care of my family, but not that well, I promise you. You got to just lay it all down. You got to give him all of it. It's still not enough. You'll never pay him back, and that's not the point. But it's all you can give, and he is worthy. We sing about it. He's worthy. Oh, he's worthy of so much more than we can give. But the only thing that makes sense is we give him all that we have. And not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But there's not really a third point, but there's a result. So that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Some of you are in a stage right now, you don't know what to do. I remember that summer, in between my high school and college years, I was determined I was going to go be a businessman, be a deacon, and tithe 12% because I knew God needed good deacons, and the church always seemed to need money. And God had other plans. But as I walked with him day by day and week by week, he made it clear. So I want to give you a word you may have never heard a preacher say before, but I want to give you a word this morning. I want to give you an exhortation. Quit chasing after God's will. Quit seeking God's will. And just passionately, with everything you've got, chase after God himself. And I just believe with all my heart that if you'll do that, what you will find is that you're walking in the will of God. And if you're not, he's able to gently move you back in place. If you're not, he's able to maybe speak a little louder and get your attention if he needs to, if you're walking day by day with him. And if you're not, he's even able, I don't know if this needs a translation to Louisiana, but in North Carolina and Southern Virginia, it was kind of phrased, if he needs to take you out to the woodshed. Does everybody understand? Have you ever had any of those? You don't want those. But thank God for them when you need them. He'll put you in his will. If you're walking with him, my friend, that is the will of God for your life. and all those other pieces, he'll bring them together. Quit chasing after those and chase after. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, what did he say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be provided for you. What are you going to do? Young folks, what are you going to do for your career? Who are you going to marry? Where are you going to live? How are you going to get out of here? Or whatever you might do, you might just find out that God wants you to stay right here. You might find out God wants you to be on the furthest part of the world there is from here to tell people about him. But I promise you, you walk with him, he'll make it clear. You say, when? When he needs to and wants to. But his will for your life, I promise you, is to walk with him. Do you recognize there's a call to worship? Oh, I love the music, but it's so much more than that. Do you recognize it should result in a surrender to obedience? He's got to be Lord or he is nothing at all. And do you understand that it will result in you being able to see and know and walk in the perfect, pleasing will of God? What do we do with this? Have you met Jesus? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? I didn't ask you if you were a church member, although I believe that's a great thing. I didn't ask you if you've been baptized, although everybody that's saved should. If baptism would save you, I'd have found a way to make y'all all wet right now because I'd just be making sure. If I thought baptism saved somebody, every time I walked by somebody at the pool, I'd push them in and say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If you've been saved, you ought to obey Jesus and be baptized. But what I'm asking, has there come a time, according to Romans 10, verse 9, the Bible tells us how to be saved. How convenient is that? How great is that? Paul said it like this: if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you say, Lord, Jesus, you are Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. What's that mean? That means you believe the gospel. Because to believe that God raised him from the dead means you believe that he was crucified and buried before God raised him from the dead. You believe the resurrection. You believe that Jesus died for you and for me, for your sins, that you might be saved. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. Doesn't say you might be, doesn't say you're on the right track, doesn't say you got a chance. It says you will be saved. I know there's a lot of places that say, well, after that you got to do this, 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 and this. Listen, there's a lot of things that God's going to start messing with you that you've got to do and that you need to do, but none of them are for your salvation. All of them are for your blessing, for your good, and for his glory. Have you been saved? You can be saved. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know that God's grace is sufficient. Preacher, you don't know, I don't think God can forgive me. I don't have to know what you know that you've done to know that God can forgive you. You are not beyond the reach of his grace. Preacher, I don't deserve it. You're right. None of us do. But he gave it to us anyway. That's why it's called grace. If you need to be saved here in a moment, the band's going to come back, I believe, right? All of you are going to come back. Y'all go ahead and get ready. We're going to have a time of response, invitation. This is what this means. This is an opportunity for you to come and take me by the hand or Brother K-Mac or others that will be here by the hand and just say, I need Jesus. You come and we'll share with you. I've already shared with you what you need to do, but I'll explain it a little further. We'll get your information. You can be saved before you walk out these doors. If you've never been saved, I beg you in the name of Jesus, don't miss this opportunity. I'm sure maybe the Lord will give you many more, but right now you have one. Right now for sure that you can give your life to Christ. You come and join us when we begin singing in a moment. The rest of us, you've been saved, but have you been given your body a living sacrifice? Have you been poured out to Jesus? Are you serving him? Are you having your mind renewed? Or are you too busy being conformed by this world instead of being transformed? Some of you, God's told you, this is where God would have you to be as a part of the body of Christ, East Leesville Baptist Church, and you've been waiting until they got a new pastor. Can I tell you? They've got a new pastor. Come on, it's time to be obedient. You come and we'll get your information and we'll explain to you what that process looks like and we'll start that journey. We want you. If God wants you here, if God doesn't want you here, we want to help you find the place that God would have you worship him. Can I just tell you a few things about East Leesville? It's a great place. I've met a lot of great people. There are wonderful ministries going on here. I went out with several in the last few days. Can I tell you something else? It is far from perfect because they have a far from perfect pastor. But we're just going to chase after Jesus together in the days, weeks, months, and decades ahead. Are y'all okay with that? If you want to be a part of that, you come join us. If you want to come sit on a pew, I'm pretty sure that quota has already been filled, and so we'll find you somewhere else. Well, you can start sitting for a little bit, but very quick, we want you standing up and serving. All right? You good? If I made you mad, you probably don't want to stay around because I'll make you madder in the next few months. I'm just saying. But if you want to come and join us, we'd love to have you. Another response I want you to think about, school starts Thursday. Man, y'all start early in Louisiana. We need to pray for these students as they go back. We need to pray for them teachers. We'll need to pray for the parents that they don't rejoice too much. All right? They get home like at 3:34, right? I mean, they're coming back home. Y'all know that, right? But man, what a time. If I have one regret from my walk with Jesus, I told you that God really gripped me in that summer between my high school and my college. I wasted. I was a good boy. I was a good preacher's kid. I never embarrassed my daddy, but I wasted one of the greatest opportunities of my life in one of the greatest fields to be a light for the gospel. Don't waste it, guys. You're there for a purpose. God has you there for a reason. Be a light for the gospel. Church, pray for them to be a light for the gospel. Better yet, set the example on how they can be a light for a gospel. Or maybe, young folks, maybe y'all need to set the example for us and just wake us up. That'd be all right, too. If you study Great Awakenings in America, every one of them started with the young generation. Every single major spiritual movement in the history of our country started with teenagers and young adults. It's because the old folks get stuck. I pray you get unstuck. May God unstick us. And may we go out with the best news the world could ever hear. Well, all I'm asking for you to do this morning is whatever God's calling you to do. But in light of God's word, will you come join me here in this altar? Will you present your bodies a living sacrifice as we sing together this morning? Come join me here as we sing. Let's stand together all over the building as we respond to God's word this morning.